Okay, today is February 19th, 2006. We are in Sexy Jesima Sunday.
We'll start out with talking about what he was reading here about Noah. Noah is a warning to all of us about how hard it is to save our souls, which our Lord always tells us. Many are called, few are chosen. Enter the narrow gate, for straight is the road that leads to life, and very few are that find it. Matthew 7:13-14. And the fact that there was only 8 people found faithful in the whole world in the days of Noah, and he was building his ark for 100 years, in which God was given grace to try to convert these people and turn them around, and nobody did. So that should also help us from being discouraged when we realize that not many people really are a good world. Most people are evil, ultimately evil, and will go to hell. And that's just also put the fear of God in us. No matter how good we might be today, we can go bad tomorrow and fall outside of the church. If it's that hard to be saved, we should not take it lightly. This work of our salvation. We should primarily be concerned in our life about knowing God, loving God, and obeying God. As St. Paul says in Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Now, the thing that we get onto, if you know that you're on the right road, we're like the seeds. He was talking about the seeds that fell upon the ground today in Luke 8. And the first one, he says, the seed falls but doesn't even take root on the heart. Those are the people that we preach to that don't even listen and don't even accept and don't even believe. They don't even believe. We're at the stage right now where we're Catholics, so we did accept the seed in our heart. We do believe, and we are trying to be good Catholics, and we want, and it's our duty to be good Catholics. So the warning to us Catholics is the other two things he's talking about there. The seed that falls on the rocky ground, that grows up real quick in the beginning, but as soon as persecution and temptation comes, he falls away and gets scared, and he loses the faith. And then you have the other guy where the seed falls on the ground and thorns and thistles choke it off. That's the guy who's so busy and popular in the world, he gets wrapped up with the things of the world and forgets the things of God. He puts the world before God. He puts men before God. Our Lord constantly says, people that love men more than God or love family more than God are going to go to hell. You can love other things, and you're supposed to love other good things, but you always got to love God the most. And the reason for that is when you love God the most, you're going to speak for God. You're going to preach. You're going to teach for God. And what does Jesus tell us some of the things that are going to happen to us? Because right now we are Catholics, but the things that we can expect, and these are one of the sure signs that you are Catholic, or you're definitely a faithful Catholic, is that you're going to suffer persecution. Because even St. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:12, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Also, Jesus tells us that we're going to be hated by the world. They're going to hate us like they're hating your father here, which is what they did to your father, right? John 15:18, our Lord says, if the world hate you, know that it hated me first. For if you've been of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, and I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. And in Mark 13:13, he says, all men shall hate you. All men shall hate you. All evil men is what he means. All men shall hate you. He says, but he who endures unto the end shall be saved. Okay, so what he's saying is, expect to be hated by men. Expect the persecution. If that doesn't happen, then you're not professing the faith, and you're not really, you're probably not even Catholic, because you're not really, anybody who's afraid to profess the faith, even like in the early days of the church when the people were tortured and they broke, even though let's say they said, I really believe in Christ, but I'm going to deny him so I can keep my job, or so I don't have to lose my flesh, or I don't have to get killed, these people were called lapsies, and they fell outside the church because they crushed under persecution. We look what happened to St. Paul when he preached. Look what he describes to us today. All the trials and tribulations he went through. St. Paul says in Hebrews 12:3-4, which is good for us, he says, think upon him, Christ, who endured such opposition from sinners against himself, that, so that you be not weary, fainting in your minds. For you have not yet striven unto blood. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He says you haven't even had your flesh beat up yet. They didn't throw stones at you yet. They didn't punch you in the head. They didn't knock you down. They didn't mock you. That's going to happen. And we have to accept that this is the way we're going to be treated, like our Lord was treated. And so if we're not willing to accept that persecution, that's what's going to send us out of the church and send us to hell. So you always got to think one thing when these are happening. God is the one we have to answer to, not people. Fear God above all things. If we break in this world and we cave in under persecution, so what's going to happen? We're at peace for temporarily for a couple more months or a couple more years. We're still going to have to die. And then when you die, you go to judgment. God sends you to hell for all eternity. We have to think of it this way. Anytime a persecution comes up where we're going to lose our jobs or they're going to physically beat us up, maybe kill us even, we have to praise God and even hope it happens. Say, God, I hope it happens because I'm going to go to heaven right now. It's a win-win situation if you're a Catholic. They can do nothing at all to harm you if you're faithful to God. Because what's the worst that happens if they kill you? You go right to heaven. That's the bonus. So you go ahead on and kill me. If it's God's will, you can kill me and I go right to heaven. So this persecution, it's an illusion if we choose the world instead of God. We have to believe, as our Lord teaches us, that you are going to be hated, you are going to be persecuted. That's why he said in Mark 8:32, he says, anyone that will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And in Luke 14:27, he says, if anyone does not take up his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. We all are going to be tempted, like Peter denied our Lord because he was afraid of his flesh. You know, he was going to lose. He did love God ultimately because he repented very quickly. But don't kid ourselves neither. We would all be St. Peter without God's grace and help. And we're all here to help one another. When any of us are weakening, we want all the brothers to come on us and help us and exhort us to stay right. Because you read about in the martyrs even, some of the martyrs that were being tortured were almost breaking. And some of the other brothers were over there exhorting them, preaching to them. And they would look at their brothers and it would strengthen them. So we can never underestimate the role we have to play in helping one another when they're undergoing persecutions. And the other thing is, we are all one, as St. Paul says. One of your brothers suffers, we suffer with our brother. Whenever our brother rejoices, we rejoice with our brother. So if any one of our brothers is persecuted, we have to do, as Catholics, all within our power to help that brother financially, to help him physically, and help him in any way possible. Because the first thing that we have to be concerned with is loving God, then loving ourselves, and then loving our Catholic brothers. Then the world. We love and help the world after we love all us, if it's possible. Now, there's some cases when it's not going to be possible, where our brothers are separated from us and we can't get to them. We can't get money to them. We can't get food to them. Then we pray for them. And then we pray, and then our prayers will strengthen them, because it may be God's will then for them to go through this and be delivered in another way or die as martyrs. But the point is, there's nothing for us to fear. Like I told one of our other people who fell away, when he was nervous about losing his big home and all that, his very expensive home and all that, I said, look, what's the worst that can happen? You end up here with us, living in a trailer park and it's joy, it's peace, it's great. We'll take it. There's always going to be a place for you to go if it's within our means to get you there, you know. And then we know from experience that God never abandons you when you serve Him. He'll be with you. Anyone of us tries to pretend to be so great that we can't deny Christ or be tempted, then we're foolish. It can happen to any one of us. That's our fear and trembling. But it's our job when we see a brother weakness to just say, "Come on, get with it, get with it." I mean, anybody who thinks they're above counsel or above admonishments is not a true Catholic, you know. And that's throughout the Scriptures. Right? There's several verses that talk. He that hates to be reproved walketh in the trace of a sinner. I think that's Ecclesiastes 21:7. You get a lot of verses like that. So I was telling that to one of our other brothers too, who thought he's an island all alone out there. He says, you're not an island. As long as you have communication with other brothers who are good Catholics, don't take counsel from evil, bad Catholics or non-Catholics. You could, in secular matters, to non-Catholics. But when it comes to situations in your life, take counsel. Accept admonishment. God tests us with that. If we're not willing to do that, then we don't have any humility and we're not going to be saved. Even the greatest saints had problems where they needed to be admonished and they needed to be strengthened. So the head of the church denied Christ 3 times. How many times does he do this when all the martyrs were on the verge of breaking, because they're being persecuted and torn to pieces so painfully, and he appears to them, an angel or God from heaven, like St. Stephen, I'm with you. You will be coming to heaven as soon as this is over. God exhorts and strengthens us by these inspirations. We have to thank God that He's always there to force us to go in the right direction. Because He ultimately knows if our real goodwill wants to serve Him, but He sees if our flesh and our concupiscence is getting the best of us, even to overcoming us at times. But He knows if your heart of hearts is good and you're humble, that He can get your attention by a kick in the behind. He'll kick you in the right direction. He's going to be kicking us in the right direction to the day we die. The minute we don't think that we need God's help for anything, we're dead. We can't even breathe without God's help. St. Paul talks about in here how God allows Satan to tempt and test us also, to keep us humble, to know that it's God who strengthens us. But this whole idea of persecution is very important that we've got to know. What does our Lord say in Luke 6:22-23? Blessed are you when men shall reproach you and hate you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice and be glad, for great shall your reward be in heaven, for according to these things did your fathers to the prophets. So what he's saying is they're going to hate you, they're going to reproach you. Called us anti-Semites, that we hate Jews. They lied. We don't hate anybody. Matter of fact, we wouldn't tell them what we're telling. If we really hated them, we would let them rest in damnation. But the first reason that we're rebuking these evil Jews is because we love God and they blasphemed our God. That's the first reason. So we got to set the record straight and put our God where he is in their eyes and say, you blaspheme God. Secondly, we have to tell them, unless you repent and convert, you cannot be saved. Now, a lot of people are going to lie about us to the day we die. They're going to say all kinds of things about us. They did it to Jesus. They brought in false witnesses at his trial. So how is it that we can consider ourselves to be good Catholics if we don't expect persecutions? And then if we're not getting them, you know, then there's another problem. We're not doing something right. You know, it's not that we're looking for them or provoking people. It's a natural instinct that happens when people are evil. They don't like to be told truth. It says evil people flee from those who do good things. That's in Proverbs somewhere. Evil people flee from those who do good things. There's a natural opposition that takes place. They naturally hate us because we reprove their lifestyle. So they're going to make up all manner of evil about us. And don't kid yourself that they haven't killed many people in ways we don't even know about yet. These Jewish hit squads that go out. And if you're not protected by God, they will poison you. They will kill you. They will get you in an accident. They will calumniate you. All this is a martyrdom. The person who is saved is the humble man, the meek man, the humble man who can admit when he's wrong. He who can take reproof will be corrected, and he will be perfect, and he will have the faith. If we can't admit we're wrong, we're going to stay with our errors, and we're going to grow into monsters. One lie compounds on top of another lie, and God's no longer with you because you thought you were so good you can never do anything wrong. So it's the idea that we are all willing to accept that when we've done something wrong, we humbly get down on our knees and confess our weaknesses and sin to God and have God turn to us, and then he lifts us up and strengthens us. That's what makes you a good Catholic. There's not one. What pride is the thing that will kill people. I didn't do nothing wrong. How can I do anything wrong? I'm perfect. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm Superman. I'm great. And then all of a sudden you end up getting worse, worse, and worse. Because God's not with you, then you've got to cover one lie with another lie, one illusion with another illusion. And then you get to the point where you get the veil of darkness. And when the veil of darkness comes, you really begin to believe your lies. And that's the end stage of all that. But the meek shall inherit the earth, our Lord says. And so if you're truly humble and you truly love the truth, you will become a good Catholic and save your souls. So the idea is, Moses, as great as he was, I don't care, you can name the greatest saint you want. They all had to have humility because they all had weaknesses. They were wrong. Moses didn't circumcise a child on the eighth day. And then all of a sudden, his wife had to do it. She goes, you're a bloody man. If you didn't do this, God came to me and said, I was going to kill you. He would have killed Moses. As great as Moses was, God would have killed Moses because he broke his law. So our Lord says in Wisdom 6-8, he says, God will not accept any man's person, nor does he stand in awe of any man's greatness, because he made the little and greater like and hath equal care of both, and a greater punishment awaits the more mighty. So down this road, we have to sit down and be willing to take counsel from brothers, willing to accept admonishments. Catholicism is not just merely professing the faith and loving some of the dogmas and doctrines. It's living it. It's living it. Getting your life in line with the decrees and commandments of God and obeying them, and taking the tough shots when it comes your way. That's Catholicism. Other than that, it's just a showcase. You're like the people who says you profess with their lips, and you don't do them. Like St. Paul said in Titus 1:16, these people profess that they know me, but with their works they deny me, being abominable and credulous and every good work reprobate. The biggest persecution people are going to have, most of them, is family members. They got to tell their sons, their daughters, their wives and husbands, you're going to hell, you're a heretic. I love you, but I got to tell you this. And that's why most people will not come into the church, because they love family more than God. That's even us. No, even in your own family, within your family, if any one of your family members just starts sinning obstinately, you have to rebuke them. Doesn't matter who it is. You have to always, each one of us, worry first about our own souls. And then you got to sit down and say, I'm not going to go to hell for nobody. I don't want this person's sin to send me to hell. You know, so fearing God is always the first thing that's going to keep you on that right road. So look what St. Paul has gone through. I mean, he says, ultimately, Philippians 1:29, he says, for Christ has given you not just to believe in him, but to also to suffer for him. Constantly throughout the scriptures, our Lord tells us that you're going to be treated like he is. So, when it comes, that's the people that are on shallow ground are the ones that ultimately don't concede. They become prideful and break. They then do choose the world, and they don't make the right move. God shows us, the more we stand up for him, the stronger we get. He keeps increasing our rewards and graces, and it becomes like breathing to us. In the beginning, we know when people are going to come into the church, it's going to be hard at first for them to preach the dogma. It's going to be a little bit hard to tell their family members because they're new, they're young, and we have to strengthen them. We have to exhort them and tell them, you've got to do this. And then the more they start to do this, it's like second nature. And the big thing you begin to realize is, which the devil, the biggest illusion is that you need to be in communion with these people. Who were we talking about the other day? And he says, I need them. I need to be around these people. I have to be around my non-Catholic family members. For what purpose do you need to be around them? For what? Unless you're a prisoner, then God will give you the grace to resist it, if you can't. But then when you finally write that letter, rebuke that family, tell them this, and then they give you all kinds of persecution, and they will. Call you all kinds of name, and they will. And then you have that natural separation, Christ and Belial, you know, light and darkness. It doesn't mix. Oil and vinegar. Light, you can say whatever, coal, it doesn't mix. So now you're over here separated from them, and you say, I needed them like I needed a hole in the head. I'm now happier than I've ever been. God is with me. I'm at peace and joy. I can praise God. I can serve God. I can obey His commandments. I can separate myself from their trash talk, the lousy immorality, their disgusting hypocrisies. And when you're removed from that, you begin to see, I was under an illusion. I didn't need these people. Because that's the whole, you need the people. Or the kids need to have other friends. Your kids need to be with other friends. For what? Like a hole in the head. Your kid needs to be friends with a kid who's looking at pornography, who's dressed immodestly, who's a Buddhist, who's a pagan. He's going to fill your kid's head with trash can. And it's going to come home and tear the whole house apart. To say that God cannot supply your... You watch how He's going to bless your family. God is with the child. God will be with all of you. You always choose God first. I mean, and as you become godly and you grow up and you see, if you were to go back down there, you look at these kids and you go, ooh, it's scary. It's like a monster show when you look at these kids out here. They got all different color here. They got rings and earrings all over the place. They're cursing and using dirty words. They're stupid idiots. They're dummies. They're foolish. All kinds of... And you see that. And you will thank your, even now, you know it. You're going to thank your parents for what they did. And God's rewarding them for what they did because they got out of the world. We all had to come out of the world. It wasn't easy for any of us. You guys, not as it was tougher for your parents because us adults grew up in this evil world and God saved us from it. That's why we're here. You know, and you can see the joy and peace God gives us. It's truly, He'll give you everything. He says, I feed the birds. As I was reading my daily reading today, Matthew 6, 24 to 25. Be not solicited for your life and what you shall put on. He says, for life is more than the meat, life is more than the meat and the body more than the remnant. For behold, the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you of not much more value than they? Your Father knows what you need. He will add all these things to you in a hundredfold. If He wants you to stay up on that property after, ain't nobody going to take you off of that property. Nobody. He's going to get you another job, or we're going to help support it. We're going to all get together. If He wants that, it ain't taking you off. And if God doesn't want you on that property, then He'll move you somewhere else. And He'll make it real easy, real comfortable for you. He will not, I mean, even in your tribulations and trials, it'll be easy. Because God's going to tell you ahead of time. When Mary had to go into Egypt, she had to leave her whole home and her whole family and everything. Ride on a long trip on a donkey to Egypt where she didn't have any close relatives. But it was not. It's easy. Why? Because God said it. Go. And they said, it's God's will. I am doing God's will. I am pleasing God on this journey. And God has given you the grace to joyfully go on the journey. Because you know you're serving a purpose for God. And so, it doesn't matter whatever type of persecution people send upon us. If they don't do it, then I got to start worrying that I'm doing something wrong. And the world is constantly going to try to pull us to their side by all types of means. And they're going to try to get you wherever you're weak. And they're going to try to get you in your weakest spot, which most of it's even your daily sustenance. You're taking care of your family. Sometimes you can sit back and say, Lord, how am I going to take care of my, how am I going to do this? But God's showing you He's with you. And ultimately, none of us are going to be able to get a job out there in the days of the Antichrist because there's nobody who buys or sells unless they take the mark of the beast. This is a little preparatory thing for us not to take the mark because we care more about our food. Put your trust in God. Look how He fed the Israelites in the desert. Who could ever have dreamed that this would have happened? 600,000 Jews going out into the desert and they don't have no water, not enough to sustain them in food. How's this going to happen? God took care of them. But you're not going to get that miracle until you start showing some faith in God here and now in little things. So God will be with us. He will strengthen us no matter what we got to do. We just have to think first and foremost, and this is the thing I get it, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You have to sit down in your mind and say, if I don't do this, this is what all the great saints said when you're a little bit borderline in a mortal sin, or even if you have committed one, you're committing one and you're afraid, think one thing in your mind. If I don't confess this sin and stop doing it, or if I do this mortal sin, I'm going to go to hell for all eternity. But the point on all this is, you've got to sit down and say, if I don't do this thing, I will go to hell, or possibly go to hell if you're not sure even. Do you want to take that chance? Now, with scrupulous people, you've got to be careful, because they think they're going to hell for everything. So that's, you've got to give a different sermon to them. You have to really, truly be careful on what you define as a mortal sin. But once you know something is a mortal sin, or not standing up for the faith when you should sit down and say, if I don't do this, I'm going to go to hell, and boy, I don't want to go to hell forever. And then you get very scared, you get very nervous, and then you get up and you do the right thing eventually, because your conscience will tear you to pieces. If you're of goodwill, God will mess your conscience up, because He loves you. As St. Paul says in Hebrews 12:6-8, he says, whom the Lord loveth, He chastises, and He scourges every son whom He receiveth. For if you be without chastisement, then you are bastards and not sons. So thank God when He does this. Mm-hmm. He'll get your conscience so going, you're going to be in fits. And rightfully, you know, I got, because then you know you're doing something wrong. And then when it really finally strikes home that this thing is going to send me to hell, then you get on your horse right away and do the right thing eventually. And that's why sometimes even King David sinned. And he needed the prophet Nathan to indict his conscience. And as soon as the prophet Nathan indicted his conscience, King David repented. So it never should be a shameful thing for us to admit that we have sinned, or we could sin, and that we repent. It's a glorious thing that you repent. That's the thing that'll save you. And so we have to expect persecutions. St. Paul, what do you think you're going to get away without getting hurt at all? Now, St. Paul got a little more got persecuted a lot because his job was an evangelist to go out there. But even the guy in the hermit in the desert is going to be persecuted by the devil. The devil is going to torment him out in the desert and do some tests. No one is free from being tempted and tested by the devil, no matter where you are. So if you're doing the right thing, you're going to have these temptations. You're going to have these persecutions. But the better we get at it, and the more faithful we are, and the more we respond positively to God's grace, it's going to be easy for us. It's going to be nothing. It's going to be second nature. We're going to stand up against the persecutors, and we're not even going to flinch. And God's going to make it very easy for us. But He's always going to remind us, if we start to get a little too confident, with a little of a temptation here and there. That's what St. Paul talks about the thorn in his flesh. That yes, you are good. Yes, you are standing up for me. You're very courageous and you're doing the right thing, but just remember that without my grace and without my help, you couldn't have done anything. And that's why He gives you those little thorns and temptations and tests. So we all have to expect the persecution. We all have to expect there's going to be very few saved. The world's the opposite today. They want everybody to go to heaven. Look at the Noah story today. 8 people on the ark, and we keep saying everyone's going to heaven now. Jews, Muslims, pagans. JP2 says, man, you're all great. We're all going to heaven. What a lying bastard this guy was. This guy was Satan incarnate up there preaching to people and keeping them on a broad road to hell. What a hateful man this was. What an evil man he was. Feeding people with false confidence. Any person who has goodwill, as we know, will be converted. This is our Lord's other sheep. They listen to that crap, and that's what it is. And they go, wait a second. I'm living in this world. What is this guy talking about the dignity of man? Men are wretches. They hurt one another. They lie to one another. They cheat and they steal and they kill. Where is this thing about how great men are? Goodwill, people see that. But the sad part is, there's nobody preaching that to them now. But it's God's will. You know, God knows where they are. It's our job not only to preach the faith and believe in it, but to live it. And that's going to be the biggest thing why people don't want to come into Mary's Little Remnant. Hey, you got some nice, neat teachings. Maybe some final sign wonders. Maybe you'll do some miracles. And we are going to do miracles. That's true. There's no question about it. Without God's power, we don't convert people. And that's going to happen. Yeah. But a lot of the people that are only looking for miracles and signs and wonders aren't going to bear with us. Because it says in John 12:34-37, I think, about Jesus, whereas He done so many miracles before them, they believe not in Him. Because sign and wonder seekers are carnal. They don't want to obey God's commandments. They're people that want to go to a fireworks show and they want to get excited. Oh, my beautiful fireworks. Now you got to do the hard thing. You got to do penance. You got to pray. You got to obey God's commandments. You got to stop fornicating. You can't be an alcoholic anymore. You got to stop stealing. You can't gossip anymore. This is the stuff that tells, okay, you could give them the biggest miracles in the world, they're not going to follow you no more. That's what keeps us separated from the false sign and wonder seekers. But it will, God's power and miracles will definitely attract goodwill people. They're there. We pray for them. We know without God's power and miracles, we don't go nowhere. We can preach till we're blue in the face. Unless God's grace is there to enlighten the person, first of all, so he's willing to accept it, and unless God's miracles gets their attention, there is no conversion. And so the idea of us living as good Catholics is our protection against the world, and it's our salvation. And we can't complain when we get persecuted. We got to be very careful on not giving in to these strong temptations that the devil puts on your mind. You know, if I don't do this, I'm going to lose that. If I lose that. We're all here to help one another. I mean, St. Paul was locked up in prisons. The more you start getting stoned in prison, the more you get used to it. Maybe in the beginning, you start to go out after. Look at these Jews and Muslims that are convicted about their false religion. They're not afraid to go out there and die for what they believe in. We have the true religion. How could we not be equally convicted? And we have the true God who's with us.
Yeah.
So they make an insult of these phony, baloney, fallen away Catholics are so bad and so faithless that they will not stand up one bit when Christ is being blasphemed. And when we do, they call us haters instead of righteous. They have no righteous anger. They're total non-judgmentalists. The Muslims are going crazy because they had one false cartoon about Muhammad in Denmark, and they're going crazy all over the world. To their credit.
Yeah.
Now, they're infidels. They're going to go to hell, but at least they're convicted for what they believe in.
Yeah. Yeah.
CBS says Jesus was a bastard,
yeah,
and nobody says anything.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Where's your love of God?
Yeah. Yeah.
You sit back and casually watch that stuff and say, well, you're entitled to your opinion. We can agree to disagree. No, we can't, not on that. That's God. You know. So where's your love of God when you don't get righteously angry? That's why God hates the effeminate and he hates cowardly people.
Yeah.
Now, they could change, but I'll tell you one thing. They're going to have to change if they ever came in Marysville Remnant.
Yeah.
They're going to have to change very quickly. We're going to have to teach them, like I always say many times when they first come in here, we're going to have to write on the board, say things like, there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. If you die as a Jew, you're going to hell. You're a heretic, you know. Say it 100 times. Get used to using the word heretic. Get used to saying you're a heretic and you're going to go to hell. First, you have to tell them, right, you're on the road to hell, let's say, because they give you, oh, you're going to go to hell. So let's, to be precise, you're on the road to hell. Have them write it 100 times. You're on the road to hell. You're on the road to hell. You're in a state of damnation. Get used to it. Let it flow from the lips freely. No, you're not comfortable with it yet. A little more, please. Okay, let me say it again, okay? You're on the road to hell. You're on the road to hell! Good, you're getting better. You know, because you're on the road to hell. Okay, well, I didn't really... Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings. You got to get them strengthened in professing the faith. We're looking at how hard it was for people to say Jews killed Christ, the Franklin Graham, your Protestant heretic. Well, these people, he kept changing the way he was talking. The people, the mob. What were they called? They're called Jews. Use the word Jews. That's another one we're going to have them say, just Jew. Just the word. 100 times. People are afraid to use the word even. You saw it last night on TV.
Yeah.
Jews killed Christ. Say it 100 times. You didn't say it strong enough. You're weak. Jews killed Christ. Say it. You know, and this is the world. These people have compromised with the world. They don't love God. They're not Catholic in any way, shape, or form. You can't be.
Yeah.
You can't be. We can't even get a guy like Father Harrison to answer us whether Talmudic Judaism is a true religion or a false religion. Or is the old covenant still in effect? What's going on with this guy? Choked off by thorns and thistles. Because he has a professorship in the university. He doesn't want to lose his job.
Yeah.
And he's going to go to hell for that. If he doesn't care. Go to hell, right straight to hell for that. And God's going to say, for what was all this glory that you gained? Even if I gave Father Harrison you the whole world, and you were the king of the whole world, when you die, you're going to go to hell for all eternity and burn. And they don't think this way. And why does God allow it to happen to them? Because they do love the world more than God. Nobody's ever going to tell me that you can love God and you don't stand up for his glory. This will just help us, this sermon about persecutions, that we know we're going to have to get them. If you're not getting them, you're doing something wrong. And just to maintain is keep your faith no matter what they do to you. They may come up to you one day about, they're going to peel your skin off. They're going to poke out your eyes. And you say, deny Christ. And you're going to say, I will not deny him. I will never deny him. You can chuck my body to pieces, but you can't touch my soul. And when you kill me, I will go right to heaven and I will pray that you repent. That's the way we got to be.
Yeah.
And God will be with every one of you, or every one of us, if we stay faithful now.
Yeah.
He tests us now in small things so that we can be ready for the big things. So if one of our brothers is living and starving, and it's within our means to give him food and we don't, woe to us. It's a mortal sin. You're doomed. You're a horrible person. If you can't help him, that's another situation. And God understands that. But if you could, you got to do all your means to help your brothers. And God, who created all things, is he going to abandon us? No. And even when you die as a martyr, does he abandon you? No. He's with you. Because that's your great entrance into heaven. We all got to die anyway. We know that. So, how do you prefer to die? You got a choice? All the great saints, even the ones that didn't die as martyrs, wanted to die as martyrs. That's part of our Catholics professing the faith. Our desire is to die as martyrs, even if it doesn't happen. Because you die as martyrs in other ways, even if they don't kill your body. All right, so that's the end of the sermon. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.